Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
How about that? No expenses spared here on the Locked On Wolves podcast. A little music, a little voice intro there, all to kick off a very big week here on Locked On Wolves as we go daily, Monday through Friday. Your look inside Timberwolves basketball. My name's Alan Horton. You can find me on Twitter at Wolves Radio. Also follow at Locked On Wolves. That's at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's going to be a big week here. We're gearing up towards training camp, which begins a week from tomorrow. Media day will be Monday, and then Tuesday will be the first official day of training camp. Although, you know, most of the guys, all the guys, have been in for most of this month, getting some informal workouts in. So it's, you know, it's not like they're just showing up all of a sudden on Monday and getting to work Tuesday. They've been at it for quite some time. What we want to do throughout this week is take a look at sort of a roster breakdown, and we'll go by position. Today we'll look at point guards, tomorrow shooting guards, then we'll do small forwards, and then the bigs. And then we'll have a little training camp preview coming up on Friday. So today we'll take a look at the Timberwolves point guard position. And as you look at that position heading into the season, the Wolves have a chance here. They've got maybe the most depth at the point guard spot that they've had since they last made the postseason back in 2004. You've got Ricky Rubio, the incumbent starter. You've got Chris Dunn, the number 5 overall pick, the Timberwolves' first-round pick in this past summer's draft. And you've got Tyus Jones, who's coming off a big summer league performance, an MVP performance in Las Vegas. And also in camp will be John Lucas III, who has plenty of years in the league. He's been around, played overseas, and he also played for Tom Thibodeau for 2 years in Chicago. So he brings a little bit of a veteran presence to camp and can kind of help guide some of these youngsters along. So let's start with Ricky Rubio. He is the incumbent. He is the starter. And, you know, as soon as the Wolves made that draft pick and picked up Chris Dunn, the talk started about, well, Chris Dunn is the future at the point guard spot. You can trade Ricky Rubio. Let's put all that on hold for just a little bit here. Let's not move too quickly. There's no reason to start making those kind of jumps quite yet. It is going to be a process for Chris Dunn at the point guard spot. Everything does look bright for him, but let's not hand him the keys to the engine quite yet. You've got a chance here for a very dynamic depth at that point guard spot with Ricky and with Dunn and with Jones. And, you know, Ricky just has this way of running an offense. You know, he sees the floor at an elite level, and we've been saying that for a number of years, and he is calm, cool, collected at the point. I think he does an excellent job of getting the team into position offensively and anchoring things really defensively as well. We'll talk about his defense in a moment, but you know, his ability just to, it's just not the assists, but it's the way he finds players, the way he gets them the ball, where he gets them the ball, and in a position to shoot and be successful. And you know, heading into the season, you've got a chance. Ricky's probably got the most talent around him offensively that he's had in his 5 previous seasons with the Timberwolves. Yeah, he had some talent that 1 year, 13-14, with Kevin Love and when Pekovic was healthy and Kevin Martin. But that was more of a, you know, Rick Adelman had, it was really Kevin Love and Kevin Martin doing a lot of pick and roll. And I think this offense has a chance to be more dynamic, which I think plays to Ricky Rubio's strength. I mean, his passing speaks for itself. He's been in the top 10 in assists 4 different times. He just, like I said, he finds guys in the right position. And you look back at last season, the final 27 games of the year, when the Wolves had that starting lineup of Rubio, LaVine, Wiggins, Jang, and Towns, and their offensive rating was 114. So 114 points per 100 possessions. And you might say, well, is that good, that bad? That sounds kind of high. Well, it was pretty high. That ranked fourth among 53 lineups in the NBA that played 200 or more minutes. So their offense was at a pretty elite level down the stretch. Now, defensively was a different story, but we're talking at the offensive end right now. And Ricky's, you know, his net rating continues to be high. I mean, for the fourth time in 5 years, he had a net rating differential of +7 or higher. Only one season was he a +0, and that was when he was coming off the knee injury in his second year. So, you know, everybody points to Ricky's shooting, and yes, that is a concern, but that tends to overshadow all the other things he does extremely well. And I knew this kind of battle was coming when the Timberwolves selected Chris Dunn. You knew the talk of Ricky's shooting and his future was going to be thrown forward. But I love what Ricky said when John Krasinski of the Associated Press talked to him in Rio at the Olympics. And, you know, Ricky handles everything the right way because he gets it, and he's got it since the first day. He's a team-oriented player. He desperately wants to win. He talked about mentoring Chris Dunn. He talked about, you know, making this a playoff team, and I think he realizes that Chris Dunn will be a large part of that, and I think these two can coexist. Now, down the road, will you have to make a decision about one or the other? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that's going to be coming anytime soon. Certainly not this year. The other thing that Ricky does, he makes big plays. And we saw that late in the season in a game against Oklahoma City. Timberwolves had the ball in a tie game, and it was Ricky Rubio who stepped up to hit the biggest shot of the night.
10.8 seconds left. Tied at 96. Ricky Rubio to trigger in. It comes to Wiggins up top. He'll use a little bit of clock. It's down to six. Now with five off a town screen. Wiggins turns the corner, drives to the bucket, hangs, kick out Rubio, left angle three. It's good! With 0.2 seconds left to play, Ricky Rubio knocks down a triple. Thunder don't have a timeout. It's off to Foy. Three-quarter court shot at the buzzer. It's an air ball, and the ball game is over. Ricky Rubio has won it for the Wolves. 99-96. The Wolves snap a 12-game losing streak here in Oklahoma City.
Big shot by Ricky Rubio right there. You know, in Ricky's career, he's hit four shots in game-on-the-line situations, which is the last 30 seconds, plus or minus 3 points. And three of those four shots have come from beyond the arc. So he's got that capability to knock down that big shot. And what I love about that play was the assist by Wiggins, something we don't see a whole lot of, driving to distribute. Wiggins did an incredible job sucking the defense in. Everybody thought he was going to shoot. He hung in the air, kicked it out to a wide-open Rubio, and Ricky knocked down the shot. All right, let's talk about Ricky's defense. You know, his 6'4" frame with a 6'9" wingspan, those are the exact same dimensions as Chris Dunn. You're talking about two guys that can defend, that are long, that are smart. They have that high basketball IQ. Ricky has been number one in the league in steal percentage three different times. Four times he's been in the top 10 in steals per game. Twice he's missed out. Last year he missed out on the steal settle by one steal. That's the second time that's happened to him in the last three seasons. The ESPN defensive real plus minus, they love Ricky. Number two among point guards, and he's finished that way three different times. He's been in the top two. So Ricky has been an elite defender at that point guard spot. And I think a stat that often gets overlooked is the fact that Ricky draws offensive fouls. I mean, drawing an offensive foul, taking a charge mostly, that's forcing a turnover. That is eliminating a shot attempt at the rim. It's giving you possession of the ball back. I mean, the only thing better is a steal because that's a live ball turnover. But creating possessions for your team, Ricky has ranked in the top 10 three different times in his career in drawing offensive foul. He moves his feet well. He uses his length extremely well. And last year, he was number two in the league in that category. 51 times he forced an offensive foul, and that was second only to Ersan Ilyasova. So Ricky gets it for you done. Passing, his net rating, he's a plus when he's on the floor, and he always has been in his 5 years with the Timberwolves. And his defense, I gave him a vote for a second team all defensive. He's getting closer and closer. I think if the Timberwolves win some games, he's got a chance to make one of those all defensive teams. But you can't escape the fact that Ricky's shooting has still not been there. 37% last year. That sort of mirrors what he's done in his career now. 5 years in, 37% shooter. Last year he shot 33% from beyond the arc. That's right where his career mark is. But we did see over the last 32 games when the Timberwolves went 15-17, here's Ricky's line. He averaged 11 points, 9 assists per game. He shot 40%, shot 37% from beyond the arc, and he was a hefty 89% at the free throw line. So over those last 32 games, when the Wolves kind of solidified their lineup, Ricky was a big part in their success down the stretch, and he put up some impressive numbers. That's a good stretch, 32 games, not quite half the season, but you know, encouraging if he can try to keep that going. And you know, the other thing that Ricky did, even though his numbers were, I just mentioned, were just about where his career average is at, his effective field goal percentage was a career high. His true shooting percentage was a career high. And he did those two things. One, he took a career low 8 field goal attempts per game. So his shooting numbers overall were down. And when you're not shooting well, you don't want to be hoisting up 12, 13 shots a game. So he took less shots, and more of his shots came from the three-point line than at any point in his career. His career-high three-point rate was last season. 32% of his shots came from beyond the arc. And if you go back to 2 years ago, or I guess 3 years ago, to the 13-14 season, that was the last time he played a full season, 82 games. He played 76 last year, only 22 games the previous year. So we use that 13-14 as kind of a baseline. But 20% of his shots came from beyond the arc. Last year, 32%. So that, you know, if you're shooting 33% from three-point range and only 35% from the mid-range, well, heck, you're better off shooting from three and getting that extra point. You're nearly shooting the same percentage. So I think that's an encouraging sign. You know, if Ricky's going to shoot, let it be from beyond the arc, where he's just a couple of ticks under, you know, league average is about 35% from above the arc, and he's at 33%. So if he could improve that just a little bit and get to league average, then you've got something. But when you look at his shot breakdown a little bit more, so while the three-pointers were up, that's good. You know, you go back to that 13-14 season, look at the mid-range shots. That year, he shot 31% of his shots from the mid-range. Last year, 41% of his shots came from the mid-range. And in the restricted area, 41% of his shots in the 13-14 season came in the restricted area. Last year, only 21%. Ricky's drives went from 9 a game, almost 9 a game in that 13-14 season, to just over 5 a game last year. He is not driving to shoot and to score as much as we saw a couple of years ago. So while the three-point attempts are up, that's good. The mid-range shots are also up because the shots at the rim are down. And yes, Ricky has struggled to finish at the rim, but you know, that 41% of his shots coming from the mid-range, that has to change. That's either got to get redistributed to the three-point line or to the restricted area. And, you know, the Timberwolves, their mid-range issues last year, they were the highest team in the league shooting mid-range shots, but they had 3 of the bottom 9 shooters in mid-range field goal percentage. Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, and Ricky Rubio all shot 35% or less, 3 of the bottom 9 marks in the NBA. So you'd love to see Ricky maybe drive a little bit more. Part of that last year may have been sort of a change in philosophy of the offense, but I think that probably doesn't account for 4 drives a game. You'd love to see him penetrate a little bit more, and we might see more of that as this offense becomes more dynamic with Towns on the floor and with Wiggins and with LaVine lighting things up from beyond the arc. So that's kind of Ricky Rubio's synopsis there. And Ricky, you know, played for his national team and qualified for the Olympics, and so they finished with a bronze medal. But you know what? Another big story around Ricky Rubio was the fact that his mother, Tona, passed away in May. She died very young at 56 and had lung cancer. And the other aspect of his conversation with John Krasinski down in Rio centered around the fact that Ricky really struggled last season to handle that. She was going through such a tough time, and he was really struggling on wondering, hey, what am I doing playing in these games when my mom is struggling for her life? And that was obviously very difficult. It weighed heavily on him. And then you saw him struggle in the first couple of games of the Olympics, and he talked about how it was tough getting back onto the floor without having his mom, who not necessarily was there for every game, but certainly in the forefront of his mind. And so he kind of got through those first couple of games and then played extremely well down the stretch and helped lead Spain to that bronze medal, and had a matchup against the U.S., played the U.S. pretty well. So Ricky had a good Olympics. The one thing, obviously, he didn't get a lot to do or have a chance to do a lot of was work on his shot. I mean, yes, he's working on basketball, but you know, the Timberwolves brought in Mike Penberthy a couple of years ago, a shooting coach, to work with Ricky and the rest of the guys on the team. And I remember Mike kind of telling me that, you know, you need more than just a practice, a week of practice, a month of practice, you know, to change a shooting stroke or to get some consistency with your shooting stroke. He likes to have a guy for 2 or 3 months in a row in an off season dedicated to shooting the basketball. And the one thing with Ricky is that, of course, he played with his national team, dealing with the loss of his mother this past season. The summer before that, he was coming off the ankle surgery, had to recover from that, couldn't focus on his shot. So two straight off seasons, he's been unable to work with that shot. But, you know, there are a couple of encouraging signs, I think, for Ricky. He's been a pretty good corner three-point shooter. Last year, 41% from the corners, 35% for his career. Again, that's just a couple of ticks under the league average, which is about 38%. From the corners. And the other interesting stat that I dug up for Ricky was how well he shoots at home versus on the road. His three-point percentage at home is 36%. On the road last season, 28%. That's a pretty big drop-off over a full course of 76 games, 36 to 28%. For his career, he's a 34% three-point shooter at home, 30% on the road. So if you can not only maximize that three-point shot, but also get Ricky in the corners a little bit more, that would be a good way for the Wolves to kind of take advantage of one of his strengths. And over the course of his career, Ricky's not a bad corner three-point shooter. All right, before we get to Chris Dunn, the guy he's going to share some minutes with in the backcourt this season, a reminder to our crosstown Locked On Vikings. Catch the very latest with Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels. It's Locked On Vikings. Make sure to check that out. And this portion of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Timberwolves.com/Wolves, T-I-X. Tickets are on sale now. Single game tickets, season tickets, the Flex Pack. Find your 10-game Flex Pack. Any 10 games, you get to choose them. Get it at Timberwolves.com/Wolves, T-I-X. Something I like to do is use the 3D seat viewer. You can click on any seat and get the location. Find out exactly your view of the court, the angle, all that kind of stuff. I like to know exactly where I'm sitting when I go to an arena. And you can get your tickets for the two preseason games at Target Center coming up on Wednesday, the 19th of October. That's against Memphis. And then Friday, the 21st against Charlotte. Couple of two home games to end out the preseason. And then the regular season home opener tickets are on sale against the Memphis Grizzlies. That is Tuesday, November 1st. I hope you like your Wolves-Grizzlies matchup and rivalry, because we'll see the Grizzlies. The Timberwolves open the season in Memphis. Then they have their home opener against Memphis. And then we'll also see the Grizzlies 9 games later. So we play them 3 times in a 12-day span. And, of course, we play them in the preseason as well. So that's 4 times in the preseason in the opening 12 games of the year. Timberwolves.com/Wolves, T-I-X, for all your Timberwolves ticket needs. All right, Chris Dunn, the 6'4 rookie out of Providence. He's also got that 6'9 wingspan that I mentioned, the same dimensions as Ricky Rubio. He was the number 5 overall pick last year at Providence, 16 points, 5 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals as a senior. He's overcome a couple of shoulder surgeries during his time at Providence, and even though he played 4 years, one of those seasons he only played 4 games, I believe it was. So he was really a redshirt junior coming out of Providence, and we saw him on display at Summer League. But if you didn't catch the first 2 games, then you missed it. He suffered a concussion in that second game and did not play the rest of the Vegas Summer League. He was fine from that. He went on to participate at Tim Gergerich's skills camp there in Las Vegas. That's a highly prestigious camp that Scott Layden and Tom Thibodeau got him into, and he was able to perform there. But in the 2 games we did see Chris Dunn in Las Vegas, you know, he played 34 minutes. He averaged 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals, shot well, 54%. Struggled a bit from the 3-point line, but a pretty small sample size there, just 1 of 6. But the thing that jumped out immediately to me about Chris Dunn was just how NBA-ready his body looks. Yes, he's a little bit older. In fact, he's older than Tyus Jones. He's older than Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl-Anthony Towns. He comes in at 22 years of age, but he's already kind of grown into his body. That first matchup against the Nuggets, you know, he's matching up against Emmanuel Mudiay, who's a big guy. Gary Harris, maybe not as big as Mudiay, but still, Chris Dunn looked the part. And aside from the big numbers that he put up, I just liked his decisions that he made. Even if it didn't result in him getting a bucket or him getting an assist, I felt like he made a lot of good decisions, which is rare for a guy, a rookie coming out. And I really felt he made the right decision about 90% of the time at extremely high level. He read the pick and rolls well, both offensively and defensively. Just seemed to make the right decisions, which I think is a great sign going forward. Tyus Jones, his backcourt mate there in Vegas, had a tremendous Vegas. And Tyus is now entering his second year, 6'1", 190, played in 37 games last year, including the final 26 games. And what you're always looking for young guys, at whatever level they start off at, is looking for improvement, constant improvement. Are they making strides, headed in the right direction? And I think we can say that Tyus has made strides in everything he's done so far as a pro. He had that stretch early on where he finally got on the floor. It was only a 5 or 6 game stretch, but he really struggled. Then he ended up sitting for a little bit, then getting that opportunity in the D League. He comes back up and he plays the final 26 games. And while the overall numbers not very impressive, I think there was progress. We saw him play better and more comfortably. You saw him kind of get acclimated to the NBA game over those final 26 games. And you did see some improvement from earlier on in the season. He finished up playing 16 minutes a game, 4 points, 3 assists, 36% shooting, 30% from deep. Although his three-point numbers were interesting, you know, he started off red hot from beyond the arc. He was 13 of 26, so 50% on his first 26 attempts from beyond the arc. But then he finished up just 3 of 27 down the stretch, just 11%. Tyus had a really good assist-to-turnover ratio, over 3-1, and it was closer to 4-1 over those final 26 games that he played in there. His net rating, obviously, took some hits last year. He was a minus 10 when he was on the floor. Timberwolves got outscored by 10 points per 100 possessions. So he did struggle to adjust to the game. And when you look at the overall numbers, and he also didn't get a whole lot of help from that second unit. The second unit overall really struggled, and that obviously is going to drag your numbers down a little bit. But there is definitely room for improvement, especially at the defensive end. Tyus was taken advantage of in the pick and roll, and you know, his size is not the biggest, but you know, this guy is a fighter and he just finds a way to win. That's what he's done his entire career, whether it's with Team USA in their development stages that he's played in, or whether it's been at Duke, whether it's been in high school. And I think the future is still very bright for Tyus Jones, but he certainly heads into this season as the number 3 point guard. And it'll be interesting to see how many minutes Tyus can get on the floor. Tom Thibodeau does not have a big track record of playing younger players, and I imagine younger point guards even more. But as long as Rubio and Dunn stay healthy, I think you can assume that most of the minutes are going to come from those two players. And I did mention John Lucas III, 7-year NBA vet. He's played with 5 different teams. He's played in the D League. He's played in Italy. He's played in Spain, China. He's played in Puerto Rico as well. But he did play 2 years with Tibbs in Chicago. And so he comes in as a veteran into training camp. He knows the system. And for him, he gets to keep his dream alive. He hasn't played in the NBA in the last 2 years. So he gets to kind of come in here and show what he can do. And maybe someone sees him or needs a point guard somewhere else in the league. And maybe he gets himself back on the NBA radar. So I think the Wolves have a very good mix of point guards heading into the season. Like I said, at least heading in, this has the potential to be one of the deeper backcourts that the Timberwolves have had, maybe in their franchise history. Now, I mentioned it'll be a little interesting to see how it plays out with the minutes this year. You know, Rubio on his career averages 32 minutes a game. And Ricky, as we've seen over the years, is most effective when he's playing a healthy number of minutes. And with Thibodeau's track record of playing his good players more minutes, you know, we could see Ricky play 34, 35 minutes a game. Now, if he does that, and even if he's at his career average of 32, it's going to be somewhere in that range, likely. That doesn't leave a whole lot left for Chris Dunn. Now, as we mentioned, Tom Thibodeau doesn't play his rookies a whole lot, but he's never had a rookie that's been a top 5 pick. And Chris Dunn seems to be a Tom Thibodeau type of player. And I think when it's all said and done at the end of the season, I think we're going to see Chris Dunn average over 20 minutes a game. So if we assume that, and we assume that Ricky's at his career average of 32 and maybe a little higher, it's not all the minutes for Chris are going to come at that point guard spot. It's going to be a backcourt of Rubio and Dunn, which Tom Thibodeau said after they drafted Dunn that he could see them playing together. He thinks they can play together. And one thing that stands out is that they might struggle offensively. That doesn't provide a lot of backcourt shooting there, perimeter shooting, when those two are on the floor. But a couple of 6'4 guards with 6'9 wingspans, both with a defensive acumen, that could bode extremely well, and it's hard to imagine that those two couldn't match up against almost every backcourt in the NBA. They can switch on to different positions. I mean, think about this. You put a Rubio, Dunn, Wiggins, and Karl-Anthony Towns and pick a power forward, you know, put Gorgui in there. If they can pick up Tibbs' defensive system, you've got a chance to have that be an outstanding defensive five on the floor, and you're probably going to see the Rubio-Dunn backcourt for 3 to 4 minutes, maybe a half. Maybe it's 2 to 3 minutes, a half, and that's 4 to 6 for the game. And that would get Rubio his minutes. It would get Dunn his minutes. And I think you've got that opportunity. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. But with Zach LaVine being really at the forefront of the shooting guard spot, there's not a lot of depth there. Yes, the Timberwolves picked up Brandon Rush, but I think there's some minutes behind Zach. And depending on how Zach plays, that might dictate how much Dunn plays there at the two-guard spot as well. So I think it's a really interesting position that the Timberwolves are in. I love the depth they have there. You know, ideally, would you have loved Chris Dunn to be a power forward or a wing player? Yeah, that fits more of a need. But when you have the talent fall to you, you don't complain about where the position's at, and you don't pass on it because you may have already have someone at a starting position there. So I think the Wolves did the right thing in selecting Dunn, and I think those two can coexist. And I don't think you have to make any kind of decision about the future anytime soon as far as Dunn versus Rubio. All right, there's the music. That'll do it for this edition of Locked On Wolves. Thank you so much for listening. Wherever you downloaded this podcast, leave us a rating, if you will. Leave us some comments. You can also do that on Twitter at Wolves Radio and at Locked On Wolves. Join us tomorrow when we talk Timberwolves shooting guards. That's coming up tomorrow on Locked On Wolves, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.